Stars from Rockland USA Studios in Washington. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer all your questions, and keep you updated on your path to multi-millions without any fees or commissions. It's kind of what we do here. I'm Craig with Amanda, and we are your host. Thank you for joining us. Phone lines are open 24 hours a day at 989-888-ROCK. That's 989-888-7625. You can leave a voicemail or text us with your questions or comments, and we'll play those on the show. And if you're too shy for all of that, you can always email us to podcast@rocklandusa.com. And don't forget to visit our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all the subscription links to where you can find the podcast, articles, show notes, everything you always need from the show. We're here for you. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Craig.
What's up?
Not too much. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm living life. I woke up this morning. I'm peachy. Thank you for asking.
Sure beats the alternative.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we've got a great show today. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to give a brief explanation and overview of retirement plan categories. Then we've got 401k investment question from Nicole. And Nicole is younger, so we ran her numbers through a 401k calculator, and you will not believe the results. We're bringing back Savvy Savings, Savvy Savings segment with Amanda. And then we're going to wrap it up with final questions.
Oh, perfect. Sounds awesome. But first, let's explain what the different buckets and the umbrellas and all that about retirement plans, Amanda, because I'm looking at all the conversations on Facebook, the emails we get, and I can tell that people are a little bit unsure. They've heard Roth, they've heard traditional, they've heard all these different 401ks and stuff. I don't think they understand how everything fits in together. So put me on the timer 2 minutes and I'm going to explain this really quick. The Roth and traditional, the difference between those, it's just the overall umbrella, the blanket over everything on how the withdrawals are treated by the IRS for taxes. It's just
yeah, maybe to help everyone understand what Roth stands for.
That was named after, what's that guy's name? Senator William Roth of Delaware.
Oh, forget that then. Okay, go on. Sorry. Edit.
Okay. Back to the show. Under this umbrella, Amanda, are the various types of tax advantage plans. And that's the numbers 401k, 403b, 457, all those. Those numbers, Amanda, actually reference a portion of the tax code. It's that's actually right. Section 401 and 403 and 457.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's where those come from. They just didn't like, hey, let's just call it a 401k. You know, I mean, those are actually references to the IRS on how the plan is managed.
Well, yes, because the IRS is so creative with their naming conventions.
You would think that would be more in numerical order. I mean, 401, what happened to 402? Actually, well, there are plans for that, but yeah. They're just not common. These are the most common ones out there. So 401k is typically offered by the private for-profit employers, which most people have. 403b is more of a tax-sheltered annuity plan. It's usually for school employees, tax-exempt organizations, ministers, and they invest in mutual funds or annuities. Ooh, that annuity. Okay. And then the 457 is usually local governments, state governments, and that sort of thing. These are kind of the most common ones out there. Within one of those, like let's go to a 401k. Within a 401k, that's where the actual mutual funds actually reside. Okay. Right. Then within the mutual funds, we have stocks, bonds, cash, money markets, blah, blah, blah. So I think we're pretty much, so that's how it works. So at the very top is Roth or traditional, where Roth is you have the money taken out after taxes in your paycheck, and anything that happens after that is tax-free. All your gains are free. When you take it out, you know, in retirement later on life, it's tax-free as well. Traditional, that money is taken out before taxes, but sooner or later, Uncle Sam wants their money, and you have to pay tax when you use that money. Then you have the 401k, 403, 457 underneath that. Then you have the mutual funds, and then so forth. was that muddy or was I?
So I think the only thing I would clarify there is that a 401k is not under an IRA. They're actually two different things. Right. So an IRA is an individual retirement fund, whereas a 401k is something that an organization or entity sets up for you.
Good point. And you could get an IRA at our three favorite low-cost providers of Schwab, Fidelity, or Vanguard. That's my preference where you should go get those because they don't charge you a lot of fees, or actually a lot of them are free nowadays, as we talked about before. But good point. Because a lot of workplaces don't have a 401k, so you have to go out on your own and get an IRA.
Yeah, if your company doesn't offer, if they offer one, but they don't offer a match, I would just skip the 401k and start with an IRA or Roth IRA until you max that out, because you're going to have access to a larger selection of investments for you to do.
Absolutely.
And you'll avoid some administrative fees.
Oof, those fees and commissions.
Mm-hmm.
All right, when we come back, Amanda, it's
savvy
time for
savings.
Savvy Savings. Savvy Savings with Amanda coming up right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money. There, more articles, and all of our segments are broken down, so you can want to find more information about a certain topic, you can go find it there as well. So please check it out, rockonthemoney.com. Now, Amanda, Savvy Savings time. Yes. What you got for us today?
Well, today's topic in Savvy Savings, household bills.
Oh, bills.
Another very fun topic. Last week was groceries. Now we're talking about household bills, which, of course, groceries are a part of. So as you're budgeting and thinking about your household bills, some of those are costs that you have less control over reducing. You certainly have some control over your electric bill by the type of energy you're consuming. But in general, you have less control over things like water usage, electricity, unless you are employing some of those energy savings techniques or water savings techniques. And certainly those are all really good things to do, not just for your home, but also for our planet.
You know what? One thing that I did 2 years ago, I got me one of those programmable thermostats.
Yes.
I have two of them. I bought the Echo Bee 4.
Yeah, I have the Echo Bee Lite.
Oh, wow. So it's got Alexa built in. You know, that's a whole nother subject. It was expensive up front, but it paid for itself within 2 months. And my bill has dropped dramatically with using that thing. I love it.
Yes. And you can program it for days of the week or, different schedules for when you're going to bed. That's what we do, is I have to drop my temperature a couple degrees at night so Roscoe's comfortable.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm a firm believer in those programmable thermostats. I love them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's one way to look at it, is those types of bills that, you know, come with every home. But in some of the other areas that you have a lot more flexibility in, your cable bill or your TV bill. For a while there, my husband and I were living in different cities because of the military, and we did not feel like paying for cable in two houses. So he cares about cable less than I do. Apparently, I'm pampered. But he skipped cable for, 6-7 months until I moved down and insisted on cable the very same week. You know, there are antennas that you can get from the store, Walmart or Amazon or your local hardware store sell these broadcast antennas that you can just plug into the back of your TV, do a channel scan, and you get all of your local channels for free. And then if you have some favorite cable type shows that you want to watch, there are certainly some streaming devices that you can plug into your TV as well, and you can stream some of your favorite channels for a very low cost and sometimes even free. There's, what is it, Roku?
Roku. Right? I love Roku.
Yes, Roku.
Love it.
Yep.
Tons great of streaming. Free content on that thing.
There's the Amazon Fire Stick. That's a great option. If your TV is Wi-Fi enabled or a smart TV, then you can certainly use some of the streaming options there, like Amazon Prime. I have a Prime membership. I get lots of content through Amazon Prime at no additional cost. So that's not free, but since I'm already paying for the Amazon Prime membership each year, it's essentially free. And then Netflix, I know they just recently raised their monthly fee not that long ago. Disney Plus just came out. That's another streaming option. So the only danger with all of these streaming options is it's very tempting to sign up for all of them. You know, you've got Hulu, you've got Netflix, you've got Sling TV, YouTube TV, Disney Plus. All of these can really add up quickly. And before you know it, a $9.99 charge each month times six or seven is about what your cable bill would have been anyway.
It's funny you mentioned that. I have Comcast where I'm located. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to try and save money. So I kept the internet from Comcast, mm-hmm. but I got rid of TV. And then I got YouTube TV. I really only saved $30. It wasn't that dramatic. So then if I go add on another service, basically right back where I started. But YouTube TV has been great, especially as I travel. I can watch YouTube TV no matter where I am. And I can actually stream it on the airplane, even though you're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to.
It actually works.
How's YouTube TV with sporting events? Because that's the one thing I saw with some of the streaming. Like my husband had this box where you could stream some things through that. But there was always a lag with his soccer games.
YouTube TV is actually one of the ones that does very well with sports because you have all the sports networks. It actually has the most. And they were official sponsor of Major League Baseball. And they really promoted heavily during the World Series. So I have Comcast, NBC Sports Washington, so I can watch my hockey games no matter where I am in the United States. That channel typically doesn't show up in some of these other services. All my sports are on there, even local sports and local channels. So it's $50 a month.
Oh, for YouTube TV?
But it gives you unlimited DVR. I mean, you record something, it stays on there for a year. It does very well. I can watch it on my phone. It goes anywhere as long as I have internet connection.
How many recordings do you have?
I have none, actually. I just started using it a couple weeks ago. So I've been going through finding my shows. A lot of it's CNBC stuff and it's geeky money stuff. There's certain people I like to watch and get their ideas. So it's nothing exciting. In Capitals hockey.
Good thing you're not paying extra for the DVR that you're not using.
Right, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. I could cut this cost right now.
So another area you can look to save costs is like maintenance costs. You know, you can, for one, make sure you're maintaining your major appliances so that they last longer. Craig, I know there's an option out there for home warranties. I don't know how you feel about them. I look at them as like an insurance policy, but you do have to read all the fine print on those because there are a lot of exclusions, especially on the lower price plan. So I actually don't do home warranties. I prefer to just put money into a savings account for unexpected expenses like an air conditioner not working or plumbing costs.
I do the same thing. I just beef up my emergency account.
Yeah.
Instead of put the money I would have paid for the warranty, I put off the side because technically over time you will not need it, but it's there if I do.
But there are some good local companies that offer like programs where you pay an annual fee and then you get all the service calls you need during that year at no additional charge. But I know my in-laws have a plan like that, and their plan actually includes twice a year they come out and service the HVAC system, you know, spring and fall to make sure it's fully operational, and then they also get some other kind of maintenance included as well. So the maintenance is something that's easy to overlook, but it'll definitely pay for itself.
Absolutely.
That's all I've got.
Sounds good. All right, Amanda, we have a email coming in from Nicole. She's investing in her 401k. She does a 50-50 split between two different mutual funds, and it's the Vanguard 500, S&P 500 index fund, and Harbor Capital Appreciation, which we've talked about those before. She has a 13% contribution that she's doing.
Good for her.
Well, I know. I love it, which equates to $600 a month, but she also gets a company match of 9.3%. Amanda, that's amazing.
That's incredible. What I know. Does she work? And are they hiring?
I know. and that equals about $350 a month. So she's putting away $950 a month in her 401k, which is about $11,400 per year. Really good. I like it.
How old is Nicole? Because you said she's much younger. Is that much younger than you or much younger than me?
You know what? Hold on. Let me go find her message. Where does I have it? Oh, she's 38, Amanda.
Huh. So not that much.
And she wants to retire at 65. So how many years is that?
Hmm.
You're the brains behind this operation.
65 minus.
Okay, hold 30. On. Carry the 2, 5, and 5.
I get 27. Does
27.
That
thank you. 27.
27 more years. Of
27
retirement.
More years. So, okay, before we get into the chart. So what we did is we just went to a simple online 401k calculator. The one I used was from NerdWallet, and I have a link to it in the show notes.
I love NerdWallet.
A NerdWallet. I could have went to Bankrate to do the same thing.
Oh, I love it.
There's a bunch of them out there, but NerdWallet was the cleanest one. There's some that really deep. This is a very rough estimate. This is not something like a financial advisor or planner would do. They'd get it more into the weeds. We don't know about student loans or anything. We're just taking your basic information and coming up with a number here, okay? Mm-hmm. So 13% contributions with a company match at 9.3%. She wants to retire at 65. And I did the rate of return at 8%, which...
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think the default was 6%, which with the two funds that she mentioned, she could easily get 8 to 10% long term. Mm-hmm. So I went on the bottom side of that. So when you put in those numbers, she comes up with a grand total of $1.71 million at age 65.
Okay.
So now,
we're talking.
I know. That doesn't even take into account her money she gets from Social Security. And she did not do any increases over that time. Okay.
Right.
That's assuming
assuming her income will probably increase over the time.
Right. So this is just taking her basic income.
Bare minimum.
But I said, okay, what if she retired 2 more years later to get a better Social Security payout at 67? We're only talking about a 2-year difference, Amanda. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Two years seems like a lot of time when you only have so many years left in your life, though.
Oh, but she's 38. She's going to live to 100.
I know.
Remember, we talked about that.
Yeah. But once you're 65, you have fewer years left.
Absolutely. So if she just did 2 more years mm-hmm. without any pay increases over all that time, yeah. her amount actually jumps to $2.03 million.
Oh. That's another $300,000.
So her monthly payout would go from $4,100 a month to almost $5,000 a month on the drawdown by just going 2 more years. That doesn't even include her Social Security increase. Mm-hmm. So you throw Social Security in there, you're at $6,000-$7,000 a month. I congratulate her on what she's doing so far. Yeah. So her current account balance is $112,000. You're in your 30s. You're already 6 figures. And we already talked about the Rule 72s in a previous episode. So
yeah, why don't you remind us what that is, Craig?
Well, if you take 8% into 72, you come up with 9 years. So every 9 years, if she did no deposits, every 9 years, it would double. And you said what, 27 years. So 9 goes into 27. Let me do the calculation here.
Three times.
Thank you, Amanda. So if she did nothing, no deposits, 112 turns into 224 times. See, now we're getting into higher numbers that I just can't do. We're now in the 450 range, 450,000. But it's the growth just keeps compounding over time. And I have the graph here looking at it. It just curves and starts skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. Once you get a good balance going, I mean, when you double one, now you do 2 million, then 4, then 8.
So if she worked until she was 95, then what?
She would have $20 billion. Absolutely. There you go. You can have more money than Warren Buffett if you work till you're 90. Yeah. There you go.
That sounds
like a plan to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just love hearing these stories. And the problem is people have a short-term attitude towards this. They want to invest in crazy things like cannabis or meatless meat.
Yeah. Or they aren't seeing the increase to their account happening very rapidly. So they get discouraged.
I can tell you when I started this in the 80s, it doesn't grow. It's very slow. And I can empathize with people. You're dumping your money in there and you see your friends buying pickup trucks and everything. And you're driving a Civic and you're like, wow, I can guarantee you it works. But once you get the balance going, once you get to 6 figures, it really starts moving. The graph curves. And once you get going, it does skyrocket. I can assure you, but nobody has the patience anymore. It's a shame. You know, yeah. Long-term mindset. Just ignore what other people are doing. You do you. Stick with a plan. And I'm telling you, you'll be seven figures. It will happen. It does. So, all right. Thank you, Amanda. This has been a great show. I love those tips. Your savvy savings. Savvy savings. Anyway, we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email us at podcast@rocklandusa.com. We'd love to hear more. If you have any tips that Amanda can read.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea, Craig.
Yeah.
Feel free. Send them in.
Yeah. Send us your tips and she'll give you credit for them.
I will.
All right. Just a reminder, folks, check out rockonthemoney.com for links to all of the locations where you can subscribe to the podcast, direct links to Spotify, Apple, Google, TuneIn, all of them are listed right there on the front page of the website. Plus, we have all the podcasts hosted right there on the website so you can listen to it. We also break down the podcast to each individual question and make it a separate post so you can easily find what you are looking for. We also have great articles, guides to tell you how to freeze your credit, how to buy a vehicle, everything located on the website. If you find this podcast to be of value, please share it with a friend. Let them know about us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Let everybody else know that you love the podcast and help us spread the word. We're here for you. We're not charging anything for this. We're not selling anything. It's all for you. It's your community, and we're going to make this happen together. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time right here at Rock on the Money. America's Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.